How do you do? Many people enjoy country music with its plaintive and heart-rending themes. Because he had suffered much, the man in this story could identify with songs of betrayal and a longing for love. He would drive around at night on lonely roads listening to country music, feeling sorry for himself. But one night he heard words that changed everything, and his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Bringing light to a darkening world, this is Unshackled, dramatizing true life stories, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. What do people do when they're exhausted and want to go home and rest, but they're homeless? Well, in Chicago, they can go to Pacific Garden Mission, thanks to the generosity of Friends of the Mission who give through Hearts of Love. At no charge to the homeless, the mission offers a safe place to sleep, nutritious meals, clean clothing, even medical and dental care. Since 1877, the doors have never closed at the old lighthouse, where counselors offer the most important gift of all, new life. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2605 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Outside and hunt for some coal alongside the tracks. The coal train just went by.
It's cold out there.
Why do you think I told you to go? The stove's about out. You want to freeze to death in here?
We might if we have to go outside, Daddy. I got no gloves.
You ain't gonna die. Here, take the bucket. Now go on.
Come on. Get your coat on, Bobby.
Shut the door.
I hate him so bad. It's his fault I got this limp. I'm leaving as soon as I get old enough.
Another family struggling through the Depression. Another family beset with drinking problems. The man in this story was just a boy then, almost forgotten by his family, certainly neglected. His was a dismal beginning with little hope for the future. We'll let him tell you how that changed. This is the true story of Robert Dow, right now on Unshackled.
Dad was very good at whatever he did. He worked as a welder, a diesel mechanic, and a sawyer in the woods of Michigan. But there was never enough money because he and Mom both loved booze. Another source of contention was my brother Bill, who injured his hip falling on the ice about the same time he got polio. Dad didn't get treatment soon enough, though. So one of Bill's legs was shorter than the other by about 2 inches. There was constant arguing, swearing, and turmoil in our house that created feelings of inferiority and insecurity.
Mom, some man is coming up the sidewalk.
You kids get down and stay perfectly still. It's that bill collector again. Now, don't say a word. Don't make any noise.
He's walking around back, Mom.
Shh. Quiet.
He won't come in, will he?
He'd better not. Here he comes around front again.
Oh, I wish he'd go away.
I think he's leaving.
Okay. Peek through the curtains in a few minutes to make sure.
We're gonna have to move again.
Dad would go for weeks without drinking, and while sober, he seldom spoke to Mom. He communicated through me. But when he did drink, he was meaner than all get out. Finally, my brother ran away at 16, and my sister left to live with an aunt. We moved to Livonia, and Dad wanted to own a service station. An older couple took me to Sunday school, and I tried to get Mom and Dad to go with me, but they never went. I became discouraged, skipped school, and drank beer from bottles at home. I ran interference for Mom when Dad came home drunk.
I want to eat.
Oh, dinner was ready 6 hours ago.
Don't give me no lip, Joanna. Bring my food.
I fixed hamburgers and potatoes. What else would you like?
You know what I like, and I put it on the table.
How am I supposed to know what you want to eat?
I'm going to eat this slop. Give me some decent food. Worthless woman. You probably spent the day with another man like you did with George.
Oh, that was 5 years ago, Frank.
He's getting that monkey wrist, Mom. Quick, out the back door.
I'll fix you.
Dad, no!
Mom would run in one direction while I ran the other way with Dad chasing me until he gave up and went back home to sleep. Sometimes they would blame me for their quarrels. The fighting grew worse as Dad started building his gas station. At age 11, I had to mix cement, haul concrete blocks up the scaffold, and do the cleanup at the day's end. During the summer, I became a full-time mason's helper, working all day to put up the brick walls. Life became impossible at home with increased drinking and violence. By then, Bill and my sister Grace were both married. One day, Grace came by.
Hi, anybody home?
Shh, your dad's sleeping.
He's drunk again.
Yeah, chased us out of the house before I fell asleep.
Mom, you don't have to live like this.
Oh, Grace, I ain't got no other choice.
You can leave. Get a divorce. At the very least, get a separation and live a normal life.
I never had a real job, Grace.
Dad would have to support Bobby. He's underage.
Well, what do you think, Bobby?
You could live in an apartment and have your own room, Bobby. You could go out for sports and school, get a paper route, and be together with Mom without all this bickering.
Sounds like heaven to me.
Bill and I'll help you, Mom. Look, pack up some clothes while Dad's asleep, and let's get out of here. Hurry.
We traveled to my brother's apartment 25 miles away, and we were sitting around eating and talking about the situation when we realized Mom had disappeared. We searched everywhere for 3 hours without finding her. Finally, Grace and Bill drew straws to see who would keep me until she was found, and Grace won. Mom never came to get me. It turned out she was with a man in Bill's apartment building. Dad never came to get me either, though he did visit once to complain about how he'd been abandoned. I blame myself because they didn't want me. When school started, however, life was better. I finished freshman year, started as a sophomore, and went to visit Bill during Christmas break.
How's school, Bobby?
Good. I made the varsity team in swimming and diving, and I already earned a letter in freestyle, 50, 100, and a 400-yard relay.
Oh, yeah? Are you, like, living with Grace?
She's okay. Her husband's always ragging on me, though. Calls me names and says I'll never amount to anything. A couple of times, he even shot me with a BB gun.
Man, you tell Grace?
Nah, I don't want to make trouble.
So, Dad has to pay support for you.
Yeah, $15 a week.
Listen, why don't you come live with us?
Because Bill's wife and her family was kind to me, I moved in with him and quickly discovered that he was becoming an alcoholic. In early spring of my junior year, he convinced me to quit school to help him cut logs. The first 3 months went real good. Then in early July, he picked up our pay in cash and disappeared for 3 days before coming home. Bill, where you been?
None of your business.
Well, you've been gone since the third with all of my money. I had a date, but you had my money. So I missed my date and all the 4th of July celebrations.
There's your money. Now get out.
$2? I earned $300.
Go on, take it. And get out!
Well, I packed a few things in a cloth bag and set out with nowhere to go. I learned that Mom was working in a resort 50 miles away, so I hitchhiked there and worked in the kitchen in exchange for room and board until mid-August when I was laid off. Then I hitchhiked to my aunt and uncle's home, 70 miles away.
Have another helping, Bob. You must be hungry after traveling all day.
Thanks, Aunt Minnie.
You know, school's starting soon.
I probably won't go. I dropped out last April to work with Bill cutting locks.
Well, you only have a year to go, Bob. Why don't you finish? You'll be better off in the long run.
I got nowhere to live. Sure don't want to go back to Dad. Besides, he don't want me.
Well, you can stay here with us.
You have 10 children already. Are you sure there's room for me?
Well, Gordon's in the military now. You can stay in his room.
I sure appreciate it, Aunt Minnie.
And you can go to church with us, too.
Well, I chose to attend a very liberal church so I wouldn't have to go with them. They always read the Bible and talked about the Lord in general conversation. I rejected their faith. I knew my aunt was praying for me, but I didn't want their religion. My aunt and her family always encouraged me during that last year of school, but I still felt alone. None of my family wrote or called or came to see me. I felt worthless. Graduation came, but my family didn't.
Congratulations, Bob. We're very proud of you for graduating. And the song you sang at the ceremony was very good.
You're the only one in the family who came, Aunt Minnie.
Well, I suppose your dad and Mom had to work.
They just don't care, that's all.
Well, what are your plans now?
Well, I'll see if I can stay with Grace and find a job in Wyandotte.
We love you, Bob, and we'll be praying for you. The Lord loves you, too.
3 days later, I took a bus to my sister's home, where I agreed to pay room and board. My first job with a hardware store lasted only 3 weeks.
What happened, Bob?
I picked up an order for 15 gallons of paint from the factory and left it all by the tailgate instead of moving it forward in the truck.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. I had to hit the brakes and 6 gallons went flying forward and popped their lids.
All over the back of the truck.
Yeah, and all over the main street of Wyandotte. I felt like such a loser. Always failing, always broke and lonely. So I joined the Navy and finished basic training, but life was still a drag. My shipmates had families and friends at graduation. I had no one. I never received mail or packages, and drinking became my way of life. But I saved up enough money to buy a car, which I drove sometimes 100 miles on a Saturday night, going nowhere, listening to country music, and feeling sorry for myself. Ideas of ending my life floated around the edges of my mind.
As Bob was giving up on himself, enormous changes were waiting just around the corner for him. Unshackled is translated into Arabic and broadcast throughout the Middle East. Here are excerpts from letters that reveal just how these true testimonies are affecting people in countries that otherwise wouldn't hear the gospel. From Jordan, this person writes, "Unshackled changed my life. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior when I heard how he changed the life of a sinner like me on your program." And this man in Saudi Arabia writes, "As I listen to Unshackled, I understand that prayer can change things. It is difficult for me to understand that I can pray and God can change my fate." Someone in Eritrea writes, "Unshackled is my window to the teachings of God and Jesus Christ." A woman in Egypt writes that her brother received Christ after listening to Unshackled and was driven from home by his irate father. Pray for these believers who are often persecuted for their faith. To learn more about this ministry or to have Unshackled broadcast in Arabic in your area, just write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
The Korean War broke out in full force, but I remained at base just outside of Detroit where I worked on the flight line. Weekends were difficult, so I'd go to a bar at 7 and drink till 11, then get in my car and drive around. I never dated because I thought no one wanted me. Oh, I had a friend, though, named Tony. He'd come by on Sunday morning, and we'd go to a local restaurant and get black coffee for our hangovers.
So, what'd you do last night?
Had a few beers and drove around.
Oh, must be great to have a car.
Is it ever. Have all the radio stations tuned to country music. As soon as the commercial comes on, I push the button and change to a different station.
Cool.
Oh, man, do I have a hangover.
Oh, me too. Come on, coffee, kick in.
Sometimes my drinking made me late for morning muster, and the extra duty reinforced my belief that I wasn't worth much. I began to doubt the value of living if all I did was work, drink, and fail. One Saturday night, as I drove around having my little pity party, I started to make a U-turn and push the button on the radio simultaneously. Now, the button didn't go all the way down and stopped at a preacher. I was too busy making the turn to fix the radio.
If your life isn't worth living, my friend, why not give Jesus Christ a chance?
Oh, when I get done with this U-turn, buddy, you're out of here.
If you're driving in your car tonight, why not pull over to the side of the road and ask Jesus to come into your heart and take over your life? Jesus said in Matthew
chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls.
Oh, God. What that man on the radio says is true, that I want Jesus to come into my heart. Well, I sat there for a long time in the silence, hoping that my life would be different. And then I said, man, this is stupid. I drove home and went to bed, thinking nothing had changed. But everything had changed. The next morning, as usual, my friend came by and we headed out for coffee.
So, what'd you do last night?
I had a few beers and drove around.
Then what'd you do?
Nothing much.
Well, you must have done something.
Oh, the usual, you know.
Come on, I know you. What else did you do?
Okay, I'll tell you, Tony. But if you laugh, I'll give you five you can't spend. A knuckle sandwich, you understand?
I won't laugh, I promise.
Okay. I was making a U-turn when a preacher on the radio said, if your life isn't worth living, why not give Jesus Christ a chance? I was going to change the station, but I was in the middle of a U-turn and I couldn't. Well, then he says, if you're driving in your car, pull over to the side of the road and ask Jesus to come into your heart. So I did. I pulled over and asked him to come into my heart. You know, Tony, something is different this morning.
You know, Bob, that's what I've been looking for all my life.
To my amazement, he had tears coming down his face and dripping from his chin. 2 days later, he went to a youth rally in Detroit and received Jesus as his Savior. Neither of us knew where to go from there. We had no local church, no pastor to turn to, so after a few weeks, I went back to my drinking and self-pity. Not Tony.
Hey, Bob, guess what?
What?
I met this guy who's starting a new church, and I sat up until 1 a.m. with him asking questions.
Yeah?
Yeah. He always uses the Bible to answer me. Why don't you come with me?
Okay. I'll go with you.
Oh, you won't believe the things I've learned. When we pray to receive Jesus as our Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. That's why we feel different. The feeling that we get when we do things like we used to do is called convictions, because we sinned against God.
I want to go with you next time, Tony.
Bob, when you received Jesus Christ into your life, you were born again. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. It's faith alone that saves you. Faith in what Jesus did on the cross.
Well, I really wasn't aware of all that when I prayed that night in the car.
But you wanted Jesus to change your life, and you believed that he could.
Yes.
That's faith in him.
Well, that just blows me away that he died on the cross for me. I mean, why?
Because he loves you. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, Bob, the Bible says we are all sinners, and the penalty for sin is death. So God the Son became a man and paid the penalty for us.
That is so awesome.
Yes, it is, but there's more. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
I felt different the next morning, somehow special.
You should feel special. The Bible says God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He picked you to be adopted as a son, holy and without blame, before him in love.
I went right back to my old ways, even though there was a struggle within me.
The new birth is a fact, Bob. A miracle that God accomplishes in the soul when you sincerely pray to him for new life. He gives you his Holy Spirit, and he never leaves you or forsakes you from that day on.
Then our lives will be different.
That's right. Discipleship is always needed so that you become more and more like Jesus. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
We began attending his church, and were both baptized there. The weekly Bible class sessions lasted until my tour in the Navy was fulfilled, and I was discharged. The military taught me so much. Personal hygiene, respect for authority, how to use hand tools, and how to care for my clothes. A civilian again, I could no longer afford a car. So I was hitchhiking, looking for a job, when a man picked me up and redirected my life. I couldn't wait to talk to the pastor.
The GI Bill? Well, that's right. You are eligible.
This guy had Bible verses plastered all over his dashboard. When I told him how I just got saved and got out of the service, he suggested I go to Bible school and use the GI Bill to pay for it.
That's a great idea, Bob.
Well, I don't know, Pastor. Like I told him, I'm pretty dumb.
No, you're not. The Lord will help you. Nothing is impossible with God.
Well, I mostly got D's in school.
You're a new creation in Christ, Bob. Remember that.
Well, that man said I was no dumber than he was, and he was going to night school.
I can get you into Bible school right away.
Classes had started 2 weeks before, and I never did catch up, because I was working 40 hours a week at a gas station. At the end of the semester, I had one passing grade. 2 months into the second semester, the government check still hadn't arrived, so I dropped out. I landed a job in the parts warehouse of a major automobile company. That's where I met Mary, and we began dating.
I was so glad when I found out you were saved.
Ah, I have a long way to go, Mary. But he sure made a lot of changes in me.
Jesus brings so much joy into life, doesn't he?
He sure does. I wish I knew more about the Bible. In Bible school, I had a hard time. My first day of class in harmony, I was asked to write 5 measures of harmony using augmented fifths. I only knew one definition of a fifth, and it was not augmented.
God has a plan for your life, Bob. Just wait on the Lord.
I'm not even sure I know what that means.
Just stay in the Word, Bob. God will teach you what you need to know.
He put you in my life at the right time, Mary. You've been a real encouragement to me.
You brought sunshine into my life, too.
I'll miss you when you go back to college.
I'll come home between semesters. We can get together then.
I hope so. I'm counting on it. What a summer it was. At last, I had found someone who loved and cared for me. Meeting Mary was a major turning point in my life. And after much prayer, I decided to give her an engagement ring the next time she came home from college. The weekend before her birthday, I took her out to dinner and offered her a ring. To my delight, she accepted.
Oh, the ring is beautiful, Bob. I feel completely at peace about our getting married.
Me too. I prayed a lot and felt sure it was the Lord's will. I just hope your parents feel the same way. I asked their permission to give you a ring.
Oh, what did they say?
Well, they were a bit reluctant, but they left it up to you. I think they had higher hopes for their daughter.
The highest hope you can have is for someone who loves the Lord as you do.
I came from a rough background, Mary. I never thought I was worth very much until I met you.
Jesus died for you, Bob. God thinks you're priceless.
At our wedding the following June, Mother arrived 20 minutes late, stone drunk. No one in my family was receptive to the gospel. But the Lord was head of our house and helped me overcome the damage done in my childhood. Mary and I served the Lord in music in our church. I became choir director, then deacon, then chairman of the deacons. Eventually, I taught junior boys and the adult class. Our second son was on the way when I shared something with Mary.
Why so serious?
Oh, the Lord's been nudging me about my schooling.
You mean Bible school?
Yeah. I tried that and failed miserably.
Oh, Bob, you're not the same man you were then.
I know, but I've always been dumb in school.
Now, you know what God says. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Yeah, besides, the Bible school is a college now, and I'm sure I can't qualify to get in.
God doesn't want to hear stuff like that, Bob.
I know, I know. Last night I was praying and reading the Bible, and he wouldn't let up on me. I'm sure he wants me in the ministry, but I need training. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll enroll again, but I'm only going to take one class, and if I flunk, I'm done.
You won't flunk.
Well, he'll have to get me through. You know, Mary, I asked the Lord for a verse of Scripture, some assurance of direction, and he gave me Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7.
Which is?
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts. And I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. With that class on the Gospel of John, I got my first A. God had helped me through every class from then on. 4 credits short of graduation, I was called to pastor a church in Taylor, Michigan, beginning my service to God as a pastor, church planter, and evangelist. After 39 years of active ministry, I retired in 1998, but still serve as interim pastor for a new church. God is good. He's given us 4 sons and 8 grandchildren. My Savior found me just in time.
Listening friend, have you found the Savior yet? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. If your life has no meaning, why not give Jesus a chance? Invite Him into your heart and life and see for yourself what a difference He makes. Forgiveness for guilt and shame, hope for today, eternal life, all these are a gift from God through faith in Jesus Christ. If you'd like to receive new life in Him, pray with us right now. Lord, I want new life in Christ. I ask forgiveness, and I believe Christ died to purchase my pardon. I believe He rose from the dead to give us new life. Thank You for this unspeakable gift. Save me, Lord. Come into my heart and life and help me be like Jesus. In His name I pray. Amen. Please let us know if you prayed with us. We'll send you some literature to help you grow in faith and walk with God. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Brighten someone's day by telling them when and how to hear these inspiring, true stories. And please remember to thank the manager of this station for broadcasting Unshackled. This is program number 2605. Heard in the true story of Robert Dow were Rob Maxey, Dave Kappas, Mickey O'Donnell, James Schneider, and Cindy Maxey. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Troubled? Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462.